on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's Cashing Out VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Dustin Sweetelson with you all night long from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas, SiriusXM Channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. A lot to get to in our final hour. We'll have more NBA player props populating that will add to our VSiN Morning Bet segment. I have a few plays in the NFL. Plus, I have to unveil my top two NFL head coach openings at the bottom of this hour. But right now, we got to attack the board. There's numbers available right now. And the one that jumps out to me is the Philadelphia Eagles. Can they make a run here? Can they win the NFC? And to help us break it down, we're going to go to the Progressive Guest Line. Sean Green, sports gambling podcast host at Sean T. Green on X. You hear him in this time slot every Friday. And he joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. My friend, happy NFL playoffs to you. We're finally here. Your team is back. But according to everything I read and hear out of Philly, is the vibes are horrendous. When you evaluate your team going into the playoffs, do you believe that the mainstream media agenda to tear down the Philadelphia Eagles and their Super Bowl title defense, do you believe they are being fairly portrayed in the media?
I mean, while you're talking, I'm just hearing the Rocky theme going in my head, and I am just pumped up. And I get the sense from this Eagles team, obviously I'm super locked into the Eagles, that they're kind of in the perfect spot of enough disrespect, enough pride as the Super Bowl champs. I think they're going to be incredibly fired up for this matchup against the San Francisco 49ers. And watching that game last week on Saturday, 49ers Seattle, my big takeaway from watching that game was like, oh man, there's a lot of hitting going on this game and the incredible physicality in that matchup for the number one seed. And we heard it from the players. How many times have you heard, well, if they win this game, they're not going to have to get on an airplane. If they win this game, they can just stay at home until the Super Bowl. And even the players are saying it. George Kittle in his press game conference mentioned like, yeah, really would have been nice not to have to go on the road. Really would have been nice. It takes a toll on your body, 3-hour flight. I think the full head-on collisions might do more than the 3-hour flight. I've survived a 3-hour flight. I don't know if I can survive the NFL, but it's clearly the road thing, I think, is in a bit of their head. And this 49ers team is incredibly banged up. I supported the Eagles' decision and Nick Sirianni to rest their starters. Would I have liked to get the 2 seed? Sure, but I think this is not a horrible outcome being at home facing this really banged up 49ers team. I saw a stat today that not one of the linebackers that made the 53-man roster is healthy. Either they're on IR or they're injured. So this is an awesome opportunity for the Eagles offense to get right. And then on the other side, this Eagles defense is elite. I mean, look at the second half of the season with the exception of that Bears game. And I still don't fully understand how they got just smashed in the mouth by that Bears team. For the most part, they've just dominated opposing offenses. I mean, I went to that game in Lambeau and watched firsthand them just shut down this Packers offense. And you look at what the 49ers, what happened to them when they faced an elite defense? They really, really struggled. And on the other side, look at their defense. When their defense went on the road against dusty Phillip Rivers, he was moving the ball against them pretty easily. So the Eagles they rested their starters. They're coming off rest here. The link is going to be fired up. And oh yeah, sounds like we're getting Lane Johnson back. I don't want to jinx it, but Lane Johnson getting back is huge for this offense. If you have social media, you probably saw the win loss with or without Lane Johnson. And the Eagles offense really hasn't been the same with him out there. So I think the Eagles have a lot going for them. And I like the fact that they have a little chip on their shoulder.
Sean Green is our guest, sports gambling podcast. Get it wherever you get your podcasts, at Sean T. Green on X. And let's look at the NFC picture, right? Because right now, Philly's plus 475. Seattle's plus 155. You mean to tell me with that defense, Vic Fangio, the mad scientist, going up against Sam Darnold in a big situation, you're scared? The Rams, by the way, we saw how that played out earlier in the year. Special teams defense made a difference in that matchup in Philadelphia. Chicago and Ben Johnson, look, the offense is great, but that defense is leaky. Green Bay, San Francisco, no. Philly is as good as anyone, and that number next to him is really juicy. And speaking of juicy numbers, it feels like when the odds came out for this matchup, where it opened 3.5, it's up to 4, 4.5. Philly's laying it. The sportsbooks wanted you to take San Francisco. So if you're taking San Francisco, you're falling for the bait. That means the power rating on Philly is through the roof, and you like them laying the number against the Niners.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm never, if you're watching the video feed, I'm decked out in Eagles green. And, you know, some of my Eagles brethren are more cynical. I just look at a guy like Jalen Hurts, who is just a dog and figures out ways to win games, whether it's not turning the ball over or making big plays. And the Eagles, as much as the offense has kind of been an issue, this Eagles team has also showed an ability to win in a variety of ways. And people, they go, oh, they can't keep winning like this. They can't keep winning like this. And then they do keep winning like this. What if they get in a shootout? I would be very surprised if this game turns into a shootout, considering the Eagles defense and how they match up against the San Francisco 49ers team, who might not have Trent Williams. And you saw what that did to their offense. So yes, I do like the Eagles laying the 4.5. And the fact that a sharp book like Circa opened it at 3.5 and moved pretty quickly, you know, even when limits are lower in the week, the fact that they moved to 3.5 and 4.5 means, I would guess, that they saw some respected money come in on the Philadelphia Eagles, and they second guessed what they opened that number at. Because if they're moving it this much this early, I wouldn't be surprised if this gets out to 6. So I think the Eagles, this is a good spot. I just think they're going to, the defense is going to do a good job on this 49ers offense. And on the other side, I think Lane Johnson, having him back against this 49ers team. And one guy, if you're playing some props, if you're playing some of these fantasy playoff things, I think Dallas Goedert continues to have a big game for them, especially in the red zone. His anytime touchdown is 2-1. His first touchdown is 10-1. And you look at this 49ers team, they've let up 10 touchdowns to the tight end so far this season. Only the Steelers, as far as teams left in the playoffs, have allowed more. And with all these banged up linebackers, it creates great opportunities for Dallas Goedert in the red zone. And then if you've watched the Eagles offense, some of their most creative play design has come in that, you know, inside the 10, inside the 5. They've designed a bunch of interesting stuff to get Dallas Goedert open. He set the Eagles tight end franchise record for receiving touchdowns with 11. So the fact that you can get him 2-1 anytime, I think that's a fun prop. I think he has a big game. That's a good matchup for them. And I think this Eagles defense really clamps down on the 49ers offense.
How about the run game? Because it feels like if they get the run game going, everything changes. And I understand what Saquon Barkley was a year ago. He's not that same guy, Sean. Do you think there's a world where Tank Bigsby and Will Shipley are way more involved in this offense? And any chance we take a flyer on either of them? Anytime touchdown, Bigsby is 6-1. I'm looking for, I don't even see Shipley available. Shipley's 19-1. I mean, yeah. Is there a world where either of them could steal a few touches when it matters here?
Shipley, no, but I think Tank Bigsby certainly is a yes. Shipley, I would not be putting any money on Shipley, as much as I'm a maniac who likes a good long shot. Again, I don't think Shipley is really that involved. He didn't show much juice in that, you know, where they were resting the starters against the Commanders. But Tank Bigsby runs hard.
Yes.
Even in that first game where they won the NFC East against the Commanders, Bigsby got into the end zone, and you know, he's a fan favorite. He, at least for me, and I think the offense really likes him. And to your point, I think getting Lane Johnson back will help the run game in general. And yeah, Saquon coming off that historic year, he was never going to put up those numbers again. Myself and other Eagles fans are calling for more Tank Bigsby touches. That dude runs incredibly hard. You want to talk about crazy bets? I did have Tank Bigsby most rushing touchdowns in the summer, those long shot futures at like 250-1, with the idea that, like, hey, maybe he wins that Jags job. I've seen a lot out of Tank Bigsby. That's pretty fun. So I think with Bigsby, if you want to play the anytime, I think that's interesting, especially if they get out, to your point, and kind of stretch this game out. He certainly could get some looks. He has like a role in the offense already. Maybe he gets a little bigger role. He's got some red zone stuff, even with Saquon healthy. And then the other angle that's always fun is last touchdown. If you do think the Eagles roll, which I would not be surprised happens, him getting that last touchdown like he did in the Commanders game that first time where they clinched the NFC East. Now, the Commanders ended up getting a late score, so it didn't matter. But him to get that last touchdown would have paid something like 40-50-1. So last touchdown is a very interesting play for Tank Bigsby. And I'm with you. Eye test. This dude just runs hard. And no knock on Saquon, but Tank certainly has some fresh rollers there with the Tank. And I am calling for him to get more touches, keep Saquon fresh. And I think with Lane Johnson back, they'll have some opportunities in the run game as well. Good way to exploit the linebackers that are probably going to be lacking there for the 49ers.
He is Sean Green, Sports Gambling Podcast. Download it wherever you get your podcasts. Also right here in this time slot, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern on Friday night. And that's Sean T. Green on X. Appreciate you staying up and doing this with me, my friend. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'm actually rooting for the Eagles to go on a run here. I think it could be – I think the NFL needs – they need a little juice with the defending champs going deep.
Yeah, it is a wide open NFL season, and this Eagles team is underrated. You heard it here first, Dustin.
Yep, we're all over it. We're all over it. I won't say fly, Eagles fly, although I guess I did technically say it by saying I'm not going to say it. He is Sean Green. Check him out at Sean T. Green on X. So, oh, I love that guy. He is as sharp as they come, and he's pretty transparent about the Eagles. He'll say when he's not happy with something with the team. He's not just, you know, a home fanboy just propping him up every chance that he gets. So I'm a big fan of Sean. I've known that guy for a while. He's as sharp as they come. Him and Ryan Kramer, have been absolutely killing it when it comes to the first touchdown prop. So I've had a good year too. So hopefully we can find a few more this weekend in the wild card round. Before the line moves, the sharp plays is already there. January, it's not about volume. It's about precision. The sharp plays will offer you that. They're powered by advanced AI, connected to proven insider sources, and they're locked in on the NFL playoffs. You'll get their daily reports and real-time alerts. All you have to do is go to sharpplays.com. Trusted by the pros, monitored by the books. Stay ahead of the line this postseason. Visit sharpplays.com. today. Who should be the coach of the year in the NFL? We'll hear from a numbers game next.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Dustin Sweetelson here. You there. Thanks for making us a part of your night. However you may be tuning in, SiriusXM Channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. Still to come on the show, I have added a slew of college basketball bets. I think it's all unders and one slight favorite. That is what we're looking at on Tuesday. I'm sorry. I don't want you to watch the most exciting games, but I think some of these numbers are too high. And a lot of teams that I like to bet unders on are playing. And, you know, you got to notice what you're doing well with when it comes to betting. And when it comes to college basketball right now, I'm not very good at overs. I am much better at identifying unders. And that's because there are a few teams out there that are so good defensively that they just lead to more unders, and the market has a tough time, especially when they are a huge under team taking on a more up-tempo offensive team. I tend to side with the defensive team in those matchups, but the numbers adjust where it meets somewhere in the middle. So I have a few bets that I really like the under on when it comes to Tuesday's college basketball card. We have added a few college hoops bet or NBA prop bets that we will discuss later, plus some NFL plays for wild card weekend all coming your way. But right now it's time to look back at what went down earlier in the day here on VSiN. It's a little segment we like to call Night Bites.
At 4th-and-1 at midfield, you're up 11. The Raiders really can't do anything.
But they're one of the best teams in baseball.
Night Bites.
It's, you know, it sounds like music I used to watch on the illegal channels or like the late night Skinamax back in the day. That's what that music sounds like. I think it's very apropos for this show and me being here. And I just keep looking in the mirror and I'm just like, all right, man, it's all vegetables tomorrow. This jacket was big when I bought it. It's like fat down a little coat, right? I can button it still. It's just not comfortable. I mean, it looks okay sitting down, standing up. Ooh, baby. It's like my dating profile back in the way. I knew my angles. I could play an angle. You'd be like, oh, you know what? He's probably, what, like 230, 250? No. You see the full picture. You get the 3D experience. It was a totally different thing. Is that catfishing? Was I doing something immoral? I mean, It worked out for me in the end, but maybe I was being a little shady there, just knowing which angles. But because I knew my angles, I was good at identifying other people's angles. When I knew that they were giving me their best shot, I knew that if I'm going to accept them at their worst, I got to be able to do that. And I could figure out if I was seeing what was their absolute best. I like people who gave you like their middle of the road. I mean, it's not what I was putting out there, but my standards for what I deserve are different than what you deserve for you. But anyway, back to the actual betting and sports talk here. This segment's called Night Bites because it's at night and we play sound bites. See what we did there? Very creative. And if you're listening to this show, there's a pretty good chance you didn't listen to VSiN by the Books in the morning, or maybe you missed a numbers game. Perhaps Mitch and Paulie in the afternoon on Follow the Money didn't work out. You weren't able to tune in. Prop Points with the Guru. Don't worry. We will bring you the best sound bites from each of those shows every single night on the program here on Night Bites. And let's begin with a numbers game. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin bring you the program in the mornings from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern time. And Gil looked at where things closed when it came to the Coach of the Year market, and he was scratching his head as to why Mike Vrabel was such a big favorite.
What did Mike Vrabel do that was any better than what Mike McDonald is? In fact, I would argue the opposite. It just feels like Mike McDonald doesn't have the, sociology, the Q rating, the Q score, Mike Vrabel. He's just not talked about as much.
Well, he took a team with fewer wins a season ago.
Kelly Bidlin, this guy next to me, if I'm not mistaken, you were convinced Seattle was going to finish in last in that division.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I bet that.
You weren't alone. And so, and all of a sudden, we don't. The way that our minds work, somehow the season has made people think, oh, the Patriots were supposed to win like four games and the Seahawks were supposed to win like 10. It's not true. They both had an 8.5 season win total. They both went 14-3. One ended up the number one seed. One gave up the fewest points in the NFL. The other guy had a simple schedule.
Yeah. In a sense, I agree with Gil. And in a sense, I disagree with Gil. And the first part is, I don't like that this award is, oh, we expected this team to do this and they were better and our expectations were low. Expectations sometimes aren't real. But for Mike McDonald, I just think it's difficult to do that because so much of this award is dependent on what was your team last year. And Seattle just barely missed the playoffs. They won double-digit games. They won 10 games. In a lot of years, they make the postseason with that record. So I think it's really difficult to talk about them making a four-game jump, which I think the coaching job he did should be in the mix for Coach of the Year. But with Vrabel, what we saw was a team that was so inept with New England a year ago. Gerard Mayo was in so over his head that the improvement from Mike Vrabel jumps out to us. I think that's important. And this is an argument where I don't like the schedule. I don't love using the schedule so much in this argument because it's about winning on the margins. It's about identity. It's about looking totally different. And you have to admit, the Patriots have transformed. And for Mike McDonald, the problem he has, he started off too well. He had too good of a first season as the head coach of the Seahawks, which in order to improve upon that, which is what the guy, they're not the official guidelines, but it's what these voters look for. I think that hinders him. He got off too good of a start in his first season as the head coach of Seattle. I understand why Vrabel is your favorite. I think he is completely justified to being a heavy favorite and winning this award. I have no issues with that. In fact, if I was going to go second, I think Liam Cohen deserves a lot more credit. I think Liam Cohen, his coaching job in Jacksonville is better than McDonald. Not that he's a better coach. I think Mike McDonald might be like a top six, seven head coach in the league right now. But Liam Cohen, when you factor in, Trevor Lawrence had failed under a couple different head coaches. And now he looks the best he's ever looked. The defense has been transformed. The way they've won, the way they won the South. I think a lot of credit for the culture changing in Jacksonville. I would give that a little bit more credence over Mike McDonald because, again, the baseline of 10 wins a year ago, and we're comparing to them coming in and the change from last year to this year, that plays a major role here. Whether you like it or not, it matters. So I put Liam Cohen over McDonald, and I think Liam Cohen has a case against Vrabel, but I do think Vrabel is rightfully the guy who should and will win this award at the end of the year. My question always becomes, if someone wins 13, 14, 15 games, other than a first-year head coach taking over a bad team, can we get them in the mix? Like, I had a bet on John Harbaugh this year. It was obviously an awful bet in the end. But had the Raiders won 14 or 15 games, Is there a world where he could have won Coach of the Year? Because expectations were high, lived up to the hype. But if you are dominant in a certain way, I do think someone like that can win. I think that's always worth a flyer. Some of those longer shots on teams with high expectations, actually living up to them and exceeding them potentially down the road. It's just don't bet on John Harbaugh, although he may not be a coach next year in the NFL. That was the first soundbite up in Night Bites. Let's go to our next one, because the Bills and Jags, man, I keep looking at this line and I am perplexed. On one hand, I think Jacksonville is the better football team. On the other hand, they're not the team that has Josh Allen. And that's why the Buffalo Bills are favored, laying 1.5, totals 51 and a hook. And the guru, John Hansen, on his show Prop Points, which you can catch weekdays from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern, broke down this matchup and what he likes.
The Buffalo Bills at Jacksonville. It's going to be a good one. And this is the toughest call right out of the gate. Buffalo minus 1.5. I'm taking the Jags. I really am. I'm taking the Jacksonville Jaguars. I can't believe it, but they're playing so much better. Buffalo Bills are a highly flawed team. Too reliant on Superman, basically. And Josh Allen, that cape's starting to get, it's got a lot of holes and a lot of wear and tear on that cape that they make Josh Allen put, because the coach, in my opinion, is mediocre. So I'm going to go with the momentum and the performances of the Jaguars down the stretch has been amazing. I mean, they're the kind of the best team in football over the last 5-6 weeks. So upset alert there.
Okay, the guru, John Hansen, all over it when it comes to Jacksonville and Buffalo. So let's knock them down in order. We went with a numbers game, prop points. They're all followed by money moves. JVT riding solo today. I did join him earlier today. It was probably the best segment of the show, if you ask me. Stormy will be back tomorrow. She was on the FCS national title game, which, by the way, was a great one. Montana State won in overtime, 35-34. You can catch money moves 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern time. And JVT, all by his lonesome, tried to live up to what Stormy does, which is look for potential teasers. This is where Jonathan Von Tobel ended up.
And the other side of this, teasing up the Green Bay Packers, look, the Chicago Bears do come into this somewhat limping when we're talking about their form as we go into the postseason. A really poor performance offensively against the Detroit Lions this last game in the blow, not the blowout, the well, it's a blowout for their defense, but the poor performance of them defensively against the 49ers. They, of course, lost that game to Green Bay, sandwiched in between a blowout, is what I meant to say, of the Browns, and then a wacky game against the Green Bay Packers in which they somehow get it done. Every metric that you have here paints the picture of an average to below average team that has played above its skis for Chicago. And even with the injuries along the defensive line, and we'll see, Jordan Love is gearing toward playing here for the Green Bay Packers. I would expect that Green Bay, again, you feel pretty comfortable getting them plus 7.5.
Ooh, I don't hate where his head's at. I just don't mess with the teasers because I get one of them wrong. That's usually what ends up happening for me. That's why I avoid. That's why they're called teasers. They tease you for a reason. Hey, we talk all the time about making smart bets, and smart advertisers are doing the same with Mission Media. If you want real results, Mission Media connects your brand with audiences that actually engage. So go check them out. From premium podcasts to connected TV to data-driven digital campaigns, they deliver measurable ROI. Your brand deserves more than impressions. It deserves influence. Get started at VSiN.com/advertise or email advertising@VSiN.com. My top two coach openings in the NFL next.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back at it on Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Still to come on the program, a look at the Tuesday college basketball card, plus some NBA player props as well. But in the meantime, I have to do a few things here. I gave you my official plays in the NFL for Wild Card Weekend. We also have to look at the games that I am still conflicted on. I am considering betting. I have thought about betting, so I deserve credit if they actually hit. But if they don't hit, I also get credit for not actually betting them, unless I do bet them later on in the week. But as of right now, if this is all you hear from me all week, and I think about betting them, I tell you I'm considering betting them, I only deserve credit on social media if the bets hit. If they don't hit, we'll pretend they never happened and my leans never came through. Okay, I'm being sarcastic and annoying right now, but that is the industry that we live in right now. So anyway, before we get to the games that I'm still back and forth on this week in the NFL, I want to unveil my order of how I would rank the NFL head coach openings following Black Monday and some of these positions opening up. So In case you missed it, we started with the Browns at 6. The Titans were 5. I actually screwed up my producer, Jared Moore. I changed it at the last second, but I didn't tell him that I changed it. So actually, despite this list saying that the Raiders are 4 and the Cardinals are 3, I have the Cardinals at 4 and the Raiders 3. And my number 2 of all the job openings right now in the NFL would be the New York Football Giants. So let's talk about it. I am a Giants fan, and I very rarely am optimistic about the future because, I mean, look what I've been through. Not the 2 Super Bowls, right? The 2 Super Bowls probably makes me a worse fan of the Giants because I was given 2 great gifts, 2 miracle runs. It's very hard for me to hold this team really accountable. But I'd say over the last few years, the way this organization has slipped as one of the elite's better run franchises in not just the NFL, but had some prestige across all of North American sports, they've totally fallen off a cliff. They need to get this hire right. And I think because you're walking into a situation now with Jackson Dart, a guy that I believe is the franchise quarterback, I am totally good to roll with him until his deal runs out. To me, at worst, he's Bo Nix. And I think he's already better than Bo Nix, but Bo Nix people don't want to hear that. On his upside, he's a guy who can win playoff games. I see the potential there. He is the new age quarterback. And the one thing I like about him as a QB is that his ability to throw to the outside. So many young quarterbacks are only confident throwing over the middle. He throws with anticipation. And then his mobility just, it brings up the floor for him. The only issue with this job and why it's not number one, because the rest of them don't really have a quarterback that I believe in yet. I like Cam Ward. I don't love Cam Ward. Is that Joe Shane is picking the groceries. And Joe Shane's done a pretty good job at drafting here and there. But let's be fair. The 2 best players on the Giants roster are still 2 guys that Dave Gettleman drafted. Okay. Dexter Lawrence, Andrew Thomas. Joe Shane had a good draft last year. He's had some weird misses, like Deontay Banks, the cornerback out of Maryland. Really bad miss for him. So Evan Neal on the other side on right tackle has been an absolute bust. But I think for this job, I have it number 2 because Jackson Dart's better than any quarterback in this draft class. I don't care what you say about Fernando Mendoza. Mechanically, he may be awesome. I don't know what he is at the NFL level. I think he's good. I don't know if he's great. He might be great. I might be wrong. I'm not saying he's not great. I'm just saying based on what I'm seeing, I see good. I'm not sure I see great just yet. Team, you'll walk into a situation if you take the Giants job where you have a team that has a really good pass rush. You have a diverse group of defenders to get after the quarterback. You really just need to find a few things, right? You need a better secondary, most notably at corner. You really need to beef up at corner, get better guys there. And then you need some offensive line help, but it's not as desperate as it was for a long time. And then on the other side of Neighbors, get a weapon that can help go over the middle or stretch the field. And you can use Neighbors in the opposite way, perhaps another tight end. But for the most part, you're just kind of added depth to the offense. It's the defense that you have issues with. So I think the Giants, because of Dart, because of the pass rush, because of Neighbors at wide receiver and Scatabo at running back, I think you're walking into a good situation. Which means my number one job that is open right now in the NFL is the Atlanta Falcons. I know that sounds crazy. But think about it from this perspective. All the other jobs, you are not linked to the GM. You are on a different timeline than the GM, and the GM can blame you for the shortcomings of your team, kind of like Cleveland and Andrew Berry did with Kevin Stefanski here. Well, I gave him a good enough team he didn't win with. Or is there a world where that GM gets fired, and then a new GM comes in, and that GM then doesn't want you. He wants his own guy and lets you go because you're underperforming and he thinks the roster is better. I think you want to be linked to the GM. I think that's very important here. And because the Falcons let go of Terry Fontenot, also Rich McKay is moving on from his role as CEO. Thank God, finally. I think the Falcons are the best job in this cycle. Also, think about the division. Tampa Bay just gave it away to Carolina. There's no reason the roster that Atlanta has shouldn't have been the next team up this year to win the division, to win the NFC South. Anyone can win the South any year, it feels like. Right now, it's getting better. New Orleans is definitely getting better, but I don't know if they're contending next year. Carolina, I don't buy what's gone on this year, especially if Bryce Young returns. I love this roster for Atlanta. You've got Bijan Robinson. You have Drake London. You have a loaded offense. You have a great pass rush. If we're being fair about the defense is a little overrated because everyone acts like they're an elite defense. No, they're great at sacking quarterbacks. They were as good as anyone in the league this year. They're not as elite at stopping the run and some of the other things you want to do as a defense here, but they've got guys who can get after the quarterback, which was a big issue for this team for a long time. And I just think you need someone who can be good with quarterbacks because You don't know when Michael Penix is returning, and I'm not so sure Michael Penix is the guy, the dude to take you there. And if you're a new head coach coming in, I don't think you're going to be forced to just ride with Michael Penix. I think they'll let you take someone here if there's a veteran you want to add, if there's someone in the second or third round you want to draft. I don't think it'd be crazy to draft a quarterback for Atlanta, because I don't know if we saw enough glimpses from Michael Penix to believe he's the guy. Now, maybe they force you to play Penix for a year, but I don't know how you can do that with the injury that he had and when he sustained it. And I don't anticipate Kirk Cousins being back. So looking at this job for Atlanta, if you're good at quarterbacks and you can find someone to hit the ground running with, I think Atlanta's the best job on the market. Everything I said, linked to the GM, you have a chance to win the division right away, and you potentially could bring in the right quarterback to put this team over the top, because most of the other pieces are there. It's a solid roster. They should not have been that bad. So in summation here, my top six in order, the Falcons are one, the Giants are two, the Cardinals are three, the Raiders are four, the Titans are five, and the Browns are six in terms of openings that I find to be the best in this coaching cycle. Now, let's go over to the wild card round, where I am still conflicted on betting on a few of these games. Most notably is the Jacksonville game with Buffalo. I understand Jacksonville's the better team. Like, it's obvious in every single metric, every single way, watching the team play. I mean, the way Trevor Lawrence has been the last 8-9 weeks here, he's been a revelation. I have to acknowledge all of that. I really like the weapons. That's the thing about Jacksonville, is I really like them. I don't love them. I like them. I like them a lot. I think Parker Washington the last few weeks has become the go-to guy. Jacoby Myers has been a dangerous threat in the slot. You've got a guy in Brian Thomas Jr. who he gets his floor raised because there's other weapons you have to think about. And Brenton Strange is really good as a tight end. This team has some decent offensive weapons to go with a defense that stops the run. The addition of Greg Newsome, I thought, was very creative during the season for them at corner. Jacksonville's a good team. But the problem is Jacksonville doesn't have Josh Allen. That it's so simplistic. I sound dumb. I know it. But motivation matters in betting. Sometimes having the best team, having the best matchup, sometimes that doesn't play as big of a role as motivation. Not that the Bills are more motivated, but the Buffalo Bills have a window, and it is closing. And I think they're going to have to come out with an intensity in this situation on the road in Jacksonville and make a statement. And they can't stop the run. I don't trust their receivers. But Josh Allen has never had a clearer path to get to a Super Bowl than this year. He's never had a chance where there's no Mahomes, where there's no Burrow, where there's no Lamar Jackson. So if he has to begin his run to win the AFC by going down to Duval and taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars, well, he's going to do that with a smile on his face, because this path should be easier theoretically, right? You have the Jacksonville Jaguars in your way. Could it be the Texans? Could it be the Chargers? Could it be the Patriots, the Broncos, whoever's in your path? The difference between you and them is they don't have the battle scars of Josh Allen. They have not been through what Josh Allen has been through. And I know he's banged up coming into the playoffs, but I have to believe he has a puncher's chance here. He's the favorite for a reason. And if everyone's telling you the wrong team is favored, here's what I've learned in my short time as someone in the betting world since about 2016. If everyone's telling you, oh, the wrong team's favored, then the right team's usually favored. If everyone is telling you the wrong team's favored, it's the select few, the sharps out there that identify. But if everyone is telling you that the wrong team is favored, I'm pretty confident the right team is favored. That's why I think I like Buffalo in this spot. I would rather bet the under. I think 51.5 would be the under 51.5 is probably the best bet with the Bills and Jags, just because I think Buffalo wants to run the football. They want to utilize James Cook as much as possible in this situation on the road, limit turnovers. But Jacksonville's great at stopping the run, best in football. And because of that, then they're going to be forced to beat them through the air. And I don't trust those receivers, Shakir and Coleman, and Brandon Cooks. How many explosives will there be? I think they'll move the chains. But I don't see us getting up and down in a high-scoring affair, even as bad as Buffalo is defensively at stopping the run. So I like the under, 51.5. That's just a lean, though. I haven't made that official just yet. All right, we have more to get to in our next segment, including a slew of underplays in college hoops on the Tuesday card. That's coming your way on the other side of Cashing Out.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's Cashing Out, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. This show has flown freaking by. It's been an awesome night here. And Tuesday is going to be great as well. Like, one thing about not having Monday Night Football, you know, bigger highlight on the NBA, college basketball, Tuesday's card's going to be great. NBA, already player props jumping out to me. There's something about when you're on the air, when these games are happening live, it feels more intense. Like, there's more opportunities that make sense. And the swings are so wild in basketball. We've had plenty of wild swings when we've been doing the primetime football, and we'll have one more next Monday night with the Steelers and the Texans. More on that in a moment. But NBA, the wild swings that happened, like tonight, we had the Clippers up huge on the Warriors. And the Warriors, when we looked up at one point, we said, okay, they're plus 10.5. I'd think about that. They lost the game by a point. I mean, that's the opportunities you have in-game in the NBA compared to a lot of other sports. And college basketball is just as wild as well. And it's going to be a great Tuesday in college hoops. So let's get to that now. In our VSiN Morning Bet segment, we will begin by highlighting the Michigan Wolverines. It's really difficult in today's college basketball landscape to be super dominant. It's a bit watered down. The floor has been raised on a lot of programs because teams that normally were in the have-nots are now the haves, teams that were just missing on the right recruits each year. And then the transfer portal, you can know what you're buying. You don't have to play this mystery game, this mystery dating game of, well, this guy is good at this school, at this level, blah, blah, and developing them from a freshman on. No, you can just go buy the best guy in the market, which is what Michigan did this offseason with Lendenborg out of USC. But Michigan taking on Penn State on the road in Happy Valley, they're laying 22.5. The total's 164.5. They just beat USC 96-66. Penn State coming off a loss to Illinois 73-65. Michigan's so dominant, man. Number one in terms of getting two-pointers. They're 55 from beyond the arc. They're the number one in effective field goal percentage, and they're number five in adjusted offensive efficiency. They're also number one when it comes to adjusted defensive efficiency. They're number one in defensive effective field goal percentage. I just think that they can name their score. They just beat USC by 30. This one's on the road. Maybe I'm getting too square here, laying a number. I traditionally wouldn't do this, but I think Michigan is that good. I'll lay it. I'll take a chance. I kind of like their team total a little bit better. I don't see that available right now anywhere out here. Dusty May is 6-2 to the over in January at Michigan. Mike Rhodes, I'll give him credit. If you want to take the 22.5, I understand. Mike Rhodes, 10-2 against the spread at Penn State as a home dog. I had them earlier in the year when they covered. I think they might have beaten Michigan State outright on a Saturday morning. But I think in this spot, Michigan's too much. I think Michigan is on such a different level. I'll lay that big number. It feels square, but it also feels right in this situation. Let's go to Duke and Louisville. This game being played at Louisville. Blue Devils are 1.5-point road favorites. Your total's 162.5. You know, Duke offensively, defensively, they're really balanced. It's a young team. It's a really good defensive team. I think that's the thing that jumps out to me the most here. And on the other side for Louisville, I like them at home. I like them potentially getting a high-scoring game going, upping the tempo, their ability to shoot from beyond the arc. Louisville, pretty good three-point shooting team, not great. Neither team amazing, but I do think at home they should be able to hit a few more at the Yum Center against Duke. I lean over 162.5, but I don't have that as an official play just yet because I, for whatever reason, I find unders way easier to identify in college basketball than overs. Overs are just really, really hard to predict with college kids and the matchups and the different schedules that they all play. Florida is hosting Georgia. Right now, Georgia's a pretty hot team, coming off a win in overtime against Auburn, 104-100. Florida just lost to Missouri, 76-74. Gators laying 9.5. Total is 173.5. Hold on. That is a really high total. 173.5. On principle, I'm going to take the under. And I know Georgia's offense has been explosive lately, but Florida's not an elite three-point shooting team. They're a bottom-tier three-point shooting team, 28% beyond the arc. Georgia doesn't shoot a ton of threes either, so we're going to rely on twos and running up and down the floor. I think that works, but I don't think that gets you to 174. That is a huge total here. So I'm going to take the under just on principle. When it gets that high, I like to look at the under. I'm okay with being wrong if I'm on an under here, but I do think that's asking a lot to get over 173.5. I also like the under when it comes to St. John's and Butler. St. John's is laying 4.5 on the road at Butler. Total's 161 and a hook. You got St. John's coming off the loss to Providence, which was a bad one. They were up big. I had Providence, and I actually hedged against it. I took St. John's minus 10.5 after taking Providence plus 12.5. I had like a two-point middle, but I didn't buy that Providence was going to hold on in the end. They did. They actually ended up taking the lead and winning. Butler's coming off a bad loss to Villanova, where I didn't understand that that line. Somehow Villanova was a 1.5-point dog. I thought they should have been the favorite in that spot. I'm not sure what Butler has done to warrant that being the number in that spot. I think the number is going to adjust going forward. But that total of 161.5 looked a little bit high here. While St. John's isn't as good defensively as they have been the last couple years under Pitino, I do think they're going to shut down Butler offensively. I am not intimidated by this Butler offense. 151st from three, 122nd from two, 120th in effective field goal percentage, 58th in adjusted offensive efficiency. I do think St. John's, pretty good defensively, is going to keep this game lower scoring. Even if they win and they blow them out, I do think there's a world where this game stays under with that as well. Rick Pitino, 3-1 against the spread off of a home loss at St. John's. He's 17-12 to the under off of a loss as the head coach of St. John's. Give me the under. 161.5, I believe, is what I got on this game. Let's go to Iowa and Minnesota. Two Big Ten coaches in their first year at their programs. You got Ben McCollum on one side for Iowa. You've got Nico Medved taking over for Minnesota. You know, Minnesota, outside of that win over Indiana, the upset they had, not a lot that jumps out to you when you look at their schedule. Minnesota off a win over Northwestern, 84-78. Iowa beat UCLA 74-61. Iowa wants to slow it down, man. They want to limit the possessions. They want to slow down game. And I think that plays into Minnesota's hands. I think that's exactly what Minnesota wants. I was looking in the market, guys. Circa was at 131.5 when I bet it like 15 minutes ago. It's at 130.5 right now. Some other shops are under 130. I would go under 130.5 here at Circa if you can find a 131. That's what I would look at. Oh, no, I bet under 130.5, not 131. Never mind. I bet under 130.5 here at Circa. So I saw 129.5 at another place. You're getting a point in value there. But Nico Medved, 10-4 to the under at Minnesota. He's only 2-4 against the spread as a dog. Ben McCollum, 10-2 against the spread this year at Iowa. 4-4 against the spread as a road favorite. I'd think about laying it with Iowa, but I prefer just to take the under, because I think if you're thinking that Iowa is going to do what they need to do and take care of business and win, it's going to be played on their style of a fight. We're going to go under when it comes to this game. Houston and Texas Tech. Houston's at home hosting the Red Raiders. Texas Tech beat Oklahoma State 102-80 on Saturday. Houston topped Cincinnati 67-60. Total's 141.5. We've got Houston laying 6.5. Give me the under. Under 141.5. Kelvin Sampson at home, 101-68 to the under at home, 90-64 to the under as a home favorite, 50-37 to the under in the month of January. I love the under. I love betting on unders with Kelvin Sampson. I think this one is ticked up a little bit because it's Texas Tech, and they've got a really good offense with a plethora of weapons who can score. But when you go to Houston, have to play on their terms, you don't get to dictate the style of the fight. It is all about the Cougs there. All right, that's where we stand with college basketball. In the NBA, we did add a few player props, so let's run through them real quickly. We're going to look in Orlando. Wendell Carter, over 21.5 points and rebounds. Good matchup for him going up against Washington. Really struggle against front courts. Orlando's laying 7 on the road. Total's 234. My fear with this one is just potential blowout factor, but Jalen Suggs is doubtful, and because he's out of the lineup, we have to see who benefits from him being out. So we're going to look at Wendell Carter, over 21.5 points and rebounds. Also, Anthony Black, over 29.5 points, rebounds, and assists. This may be the peak of the market on Anthony Black props, though. He's been hot for a while. He benefits when someone from that backcourt is not available for Orlando, but 29.5, I believe, is the highest I've seen his PRA get posted anywhere. But I'll still take a flyer on it because he's putting up monster numbers. And if he scores against Washington, and it's a good matchup against this Washington team that also struggles defending the backcourt. I know, a shocker, a bad team can't defend the frontcourt or the backcourt. I do think he can get like 20-something points, and then we only need a combined 10 in terms of rebounds and assists to get over. And he's absolutely capable of that in this matchup. And I added one recently. We're going to go, I don't even know who this person is, but he's a 7'1" center for Sacramento. And I just happen to see when Keegan Murray's out of the lineup, he has a good game. His name is Maxime Raynaud. We're going over 20.5 points and rebounds, taking on the Dallas Mavericks, who are having some issues in terms of defending centers this year. Dallas allows the most points to opposing centers. They allow the 6th most rebounds to opposing centers. And Raynaud is a guy who has pretty good numbers the last few times that Keegan Murray hasn't played. It's also a good matchup, so that all plays a role. We're also going to look for Nick Clifford off the bench for Sacramento. Once they post his player prop, I like him over points or over points, rebounds, and assists. He does contribute across the board. And then in the NFL, we're on the Rams team total over 28.5. We're on the Packers Bears over 46. Chargers catching 3.5 on the road in Foxborough. And then the under 39.5 in Houston at Pittsburgh. So that'll do it for us here on Cashing Out. We've got you covered, though, all day long. Stay with VSiN. VSiN by the Books gets started at 7 a.m. Eastern Time. They are followed by a numbers game with Kelly Bidlin and Gil Alexander. I reversed it. I don't know why I did that. And then it's prop points with the guru, John Hansen. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. We'll see you next time right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.